Right Honourable Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis.
Good afternoon, everybody. I formally declare the agenda briefing session for the City of Perth open at 5:01 p.m. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. It is a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO, could you please recite the prayer?
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Please be seated. Thank you, CEO. Let's proceed to our next item of business. In attendance today, Deputy Lord Mayor Sandy Angie. Lovely name tags, everybody. They look magnificent. Councillor Di Bain, Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Brent Fleeton, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon, Councillor Victor Coe, not here at the moment, Councillor Catherine Leeser. Also in attendance, the Chief Executive Officer, General Manager of Infrastructure and Operations, General Manager of Community Development, General Manager of Planning and Economic Development, General Manager of Corporate Services, Project Director of Strategic Finance, Alliance Manager Executive Services, Alliance Manager Governance, Governance Officer CEO. Do we have any apologies?
No, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. There are no elected members on leave of absence. So, that's right, isn't it? Yes. So applications for leave of absence will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. Announcements by the Lord Mayor are my favourite. I love this. Number four. Just quickly, I did want to mention that it was our first weekend of 3 hours free parking in City of Perth car parks. And those who have been in the city over the weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, although Friday night obviously not part of the free parking period. The numbers were terrific. I'll just give you a snapshot of some numbers which I really like. Councillor Coe, welcome. 8 p.m. Friday night, Forest Place alone, almost 1,300 people. The previous Friday night was also very strong. If you contrast that with two Fridays prior to that, same area, Forest Place, the peak was 635 people, but that was at 5:30 p.m, i.e. when people were leaving the city to go home. What those numbers tell us, obviously, is that people not only wanted to stay in the city, they did, but they also came back into the city. Really strong numbers, and my family and I had the opportunity to do the Pedal Perth tour of the Christmas lights. It was amazing. On the parking specifically, 1,624 bays used, above the same weekend in 2019, and that's even with COVID. So some very strong numbers, and just going into the city and seeing it for yourself, there was a real buzz around Perth. We're back in business, people. Good news, everyone. Well played. 5.1, public questions will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. Item 5.2, deputations. Item 5.2, CEO, are there any deputations?
No, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Item number six on the agenda is disclosures of interest. CEO, have you received any?
Yes, Lord Mayor. A disclosure of interest has been received from Councillor Bain in relation to item 12.2, COVID-19 rebound precinct improvement grant, activate Perth, fill this space, phase two. Councillor Bain has declared an impartiality interest as she was the former chair of Activate Perth 2018 to 2020. The Deputy Lord Mayor has declared an impartiality interest in relation to also Activate Perth membership.
Yep.
Yes, during 2017 and 18. And thirdly, an impartiality interest has also been received from yourself, Lord Mayor, in relation to item 12.3, COVID-19 rebound event sponsorship round 2, financial year 2021. As a member of your campaign committee, Mr. Paul Nash runs a company, Corporate Sports Australia, which is the event manager for the Perth Garden and Outdoor Living Festival.
Thank you. CEO, do any other councillors have any disclosures of interest from the floor? Items 7 to 10 will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. So we move on to the reports, and I'll ask we move through each of the reports if any councillor has a question in relation to the item. Item 11. No reports. No reports. Understood. Item number 12.1, COVID-19 rebound community wellbeing grants round 1, 2020-2021. Do any councillors have a question on this item?
I have a question, Lord Prosperous.
Councillor Gordon?
Thank you, Mr. Lord Mayor. Through you, I had a question regarding the Stay Sharp program, and in the assessment panel comments it states that the evaluation costs are high, and I was just a bit confused about what the evaluation costs actually were, so if I could please be advised.
CEO?
Yes, could I please ask the General Manager of Community Development, Anne Banks McAllister, to answer that question and any further questions that might be asked.
Thank you, CEO, and through the Chair. The evaluation costs relate to those services that measure the outcomes and the impact of the program, and it is a requirement of most of our funding that we do have assessment undertaken. In terms of this particular applicant, they were proposing an amount of $1,500 for survey facilitators, which was an amount of $150 per person by 5 people with 2 surveys, and they also included an amount of $220 for the preparation of survey questionnaires and flyers and pens, and the assessment panel felt that that was a little excessive.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Deputy Lord Mayor.
So my question was just in relation to the low level of applications for the grant. It seems that there'd be many people that fall within this category, but there's a remaining budget of $110,000. You know, neighbourhood groups perhaps could fall in. I'm just wondering what you think the low level of application was a result of.
So, yeah.
And again, to I can continue on. I don't have any definite information about the low number, but we are really quite disappointed at the low number of applications in this particular program. You will notice that there is another round coming up with another $110,000 still available in this program, and we'll be certainly advertising that really strongly. We suspect some of it may be related to COVID and people being unsure about their capacity to deliver, and we're hoping second round we'll be able to expend the full amount.
Thank you, General Manager, and thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Councillor Leeser.
Thank you, through the Chair. The grant to OzHarvest, I understand OzHarvest has been in Perth for some time, but this is the first time they've approached us for a grant, according to the paper. So how were they getting their funding before, is my question.
Straight to the GM.
Councillor Leeser, I'll have to take that question on notice. I can't answer that.
Are there any further questions? Thanks, GM. Thank you, councillors. Item 12.2, COVID-19 rebound precinct improvement grant, Activate Perth. Hashtag fill this space, phase 2. Councillor Payne, I note that you have declared an indirect financial interest as you are the former chair of Activate Perth and Deputy Lord Mayor.
Apparently I'm...
It was impartiality. And... Deputy Lord Mayor, it is the same impartiality disclosure here. Do any councillors have a question? So they're permitted to start. Yeah. Do any councillors have a question on this
through
item?
The Chair, I have a question, Lord Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Bevan.
Item 14, Activate Perth has also taken a strong role in advocating for commercial tenancy law reform. Can I just ask, is there an overview of what they've done with regard to law reform for commercial tenancies?
We'll go through the CEO in the first instance.
Mm-hmm. And if I could invite the General Manager, Community Development, to answer.
Through the Chair, no, I'm sorry, I don't have that information at hand, but certainly we can provide that to you before the next council meeting.
Okay. Can I also ask, a lot of people are going into business and failing, so they lack a lot of skills. Can I just ask who's helping them? This seems to be helping the landlords, and it's helping some of the people looking for premises, but a lot of people go into business and notoriously fail. And in the case of restaurants, 80% of restaurants get to be 3 years old. Sorry, only 20% of restaurants get to be 3 years old. And a lot of people are going into business without any skills, no financial skills, marketing skills, accounting skills, or any business acumen at all, because in a lot of cases they're tradespeople who live on the dream of having their own business. And sometimes they're led down the garden path when it comes to a lease. It seems all very attractive and all very generous in the beginning, until such time as they hit a brick wall and find out they don't have a house anymore. And then we have the problem again where we have premises sitting vacant because someone's still paying the rent. And these people have lost all their lifelong belongings. So what I'm asking, does this group actually help people with business acumen so that they can survive a lease?
Thanks, Councillor Bevan. Just a reminder before the GM answers, if we can, questions please, not statements, but I appreciate the question at the end. Councillor Bevan, GM.
Through the Chair again, I don't have the detail of the support that they do provide, and certainly we can provide that to you after we make some inquiries with Activate Perth, although I do understand that they support their tenants quite strongly. It may be of interest to you to know that the City Economic Development Team, and in particular their business support officers, provide strong support to local businesses. And actually at the moment you may have seen on social media a program that is being rolled out to local businesses through our business support team at the moment. And I don't have the details of that at hand, but certainly can provide that to you as well.
Okay, there's a number of questions that can't be answered here, and the answers to those questions will be
in the ordinary
council meeting agenda if they cannot be answered here with the report.
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Fleeton.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I've got four questions, just taking one at a time. They're not that complicated. Do we have a ability to place traffic counters at the locations where Activate Perth are putting new tenants in?
GM?
Yes, indeed. We are actively placing counters around the city, and as soon as the tenancies are confirmed, we will make sure that there are extra counters placed in those locations.
Great. Thank you. Second question, do we give this money out in a lump sum or is it quarterly with some reporting?
If it's okay, I'll just keep going. In relation to this grant, the payments are made in three milestones in arrears after evidence has been provided of the achievement of the milestone.
That's great, thank you. Is there any incentive at the moment for landlords to participate in a program like Activate Perth?
At the moment, no. This particular program doesn't have rates incentives as part of the program. However, if that's something that Council would like us to explore, we certainly can.
Thank you. Final question. It's looking like we're asking them to spend 10% on reporting. Is that correct?
Program evaluation, just to make sure that the program actually delivers on what we've been funding, requested to deliver due to the funding.
And just to follow up on that, Lord Mayor, please, can we not do that for them, or is it too close to us? We need it to be independently certified or verified.
It is a requirement of our the people who receive our funding to do their own evaluation. Certainly it would be quite a large impost on our staff to be able to do evaluation against all of the programs that are funded.
Okay, that's fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Any further questions? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Lord Mayor. Through you, if I may. Paragraph 9 of the report states that the state government has supported the initiative for a grant of $200,000. The project cost is then detailed at $200,000 and the amount requested $100,000 being 50%. I was just wondering why there's a discrepancy between those figures.
Jim?
Through the chair, through the chair, the state government grant was actually awarded in August 2019, and it does cover the 2019-20 and 2020-21 financial years, and only a proportion of that $200,000 grant actually covers phase two of this project.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Goodner. Are there any further questions? Yes, Councillor Bain.
I think this is still part of item 12.3, Black Swan Theatre Company. Is that right?
That's the next one.
It's the next one.
Apologies, we'll move to that. Lord, if there is nothing further on 12.2. 12.3, it is COVID-19 rebound event sponsorship round two, financial year 2021. Councillor Gordon has noted a question. Councillor Bain, would you like to go first? Is it on this one?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, I'd just like to know, the applicant has applied for $50,000, but we've made the decision to give them $35,000, and I just wondered how you arrived at that decision.
Thanks for the question, Councillor. We'll go to the CEO in the first instance.
Thank you, and could we invite the General Manager Community Development to answer this and any other questions related to this paper?
Yes, through the chair, this is a first year program. It's the first event. The selection panel, evaluation panel, identified a few weaknesses in the application around working with the businesses, local businesses, to leverage off the program, and felt that there was opportunity for more work in that area. Also, it's projecting quite a low number of attendees, about 2,500 people, and felt that there would be potential for more, and as a first year, they felt that this amount was suitable for the low number of attendances relatively, and as a first year seed funding. Looking to it as the program goes, we could probably support it further in the future.
Just to follow up, if I may.
Sure.
Do we have a formula which defines what the average spend per head or a range per head should be for event funding?
No, we don't. But I could determine that a little bit further, but I'm pretty sure that we don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you, Councillor. Any further questions, Deputy? We've got questions registered from Councillor Gordon. Should we go to those first, and then we'll come down the other side of the table? Councillor Gordon?
Thank you, Mr. Lord Mayor. Through you, if I may. Hopefully the GM has my questions already in front of her. But if you multiply the cost of tickets for some of the events by the expected number of attendees, you either match or exceed the total cost of the project. Therefore, one could assume we are contributing to profit of these activities. So the question is, what are the project costs meant to capture all costs, or is there something missing, and why would we support profiting businesses?
Thanks, Councillor. GM?
Yes, through the chair, in relation to the first question that you asked, I do have your questions in front of me. So in relation to the Taru request, the project costs actually include all the expenses that are related to that event. They have a number of different event components with different pricing points, and the applicant has actually estimated that their ticketing income will only be about $5,000. It's likely that a number of the attendees will attend different components of the event, and some of those events might be free of charge. So the applicant has estimated that the event will only break even with the City of Perth funding at the approved amount, or the recommended amount, of $7,500.
Councillor, do you have another question?
Well, follow-up question. If you take the cost of the lowest price ticket for that event and multiply it by the attendance, it exceeds.
There will be some events that will be free for entry as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Thanks, GM. Do we have any other questions, Deputy Lord Mayor?
Thank you. I've got four questions, so should I just run through them?
Well, let's see how we go. GM, okay. You indicate if you've reached enough for one response bracket.
So I guess continuing on from the question from Councillor Bain regarding why a few of the events were not funded to the level requested, so in particular, so four of them, so HBF Run for a Reason, asked for $40,000 and they got $36.5, which is the same as last time they received a sponsorship. And the officer recommendation said that the increase from $36.5 in 2019 to $40,000 in 21 was not justified because they hadn't shown an increase in cost. But I would imagine everyone's seeing increased costs with the uncertainty of COVID. So just wondering why we would not give them the full amount requested, given that it's such a significant, iconic event for the city.
Chair.
Yes, through the chair. The rationale provided to me by the selection panel was that the same amount that was approved for 2020 has been recommended for approval based on the fact that there was no justification for the extra funding, $5,000 requested.
So I said that you would assume that everyone's got increased costs because of COVID, which would be the justification for the increase.
The applicant hasn't provided any evidence for justifying that extra $5,000. Certainly we could make that assumption, but part of their application should have indicated the reason for why they wanted that increase.
The second question was in relation to Black Swan Theatre again, so the Marley Festival. So they asked for $50,000 and got $35,000. As Councillor Bain pointed out, you know, it looks like it's a fabulous event, free to the public, a celebration of First Nations culture and art, delivered by a state's premier theatre company. So I can understand you saying that it's the first event of this nature that they're holding, but, you know, they do have an excellent track record in delivering theatre. And I would have thought that 2,500 people was a good attendance, considering, for example, our Christmas carols have an attendance of about 500 people. So just, again, looking for clarity on that.
I think I've already answered that question in relation to the reason for the reduced amount, because it was a first-year seed funding and that there were some other components that we felt that were weak in the application. However, we do absolutely think that this is a fantastic event for the future, and certainly it's a very well-respected organisation running the event. It's probably important to note that the particular funding round, we were trying to spread the funding, available funding, across the applicants. And if you have a look at the financial implications on page 27, with the programs or the applicants that we have made recommendation to fund, there's only a small amount, just under $9,000 left out of that program remaining.
The third question was in relation to the Nursery and Garden Festival, which again looks like a fabulous event highlighting WA's native plants and wildflowers, you know, assets, things that are significant and unique to our state. And they've asked for $135 and got $35 plus $55 in kind. For the last 5 years they're in Vic Park. This is their first time in the city, and apparently they could bring potentially 46,000 people to our city. Again, this looks like just the type of event that our city needs and things that we should throw our weight behind to support and help grow. So, again, just wondering why the decision was made to not give them the full $135.
I'm just trying to find my paperwork in front of me. I'm sorry, Deputy Lord Mayor. First of all, I'd like to say that the city is really excited about attracting this event to the city of Perth. It's certainly an event that we a type of event that we haven't had before, and we think it really does add to the diversity of the offerings that we have right across the city. Part of the response again is related to the quantum of money that we have left in the program to deliver, but recognising those costs associated with relocating from Vic Park to the city, with the additional costs associated with that, in particular hostile vehicle mitigation and traffic management. payment. We are trialling for the first time to be funding an in-kind amount. The $55,000 is a new initiative by the city to... in the past, the city has provided larger amount of funding that covers the cost of the city's fees and charges and other costs associated with an event. So this time what we're doing is in fact offering an in-kind sponsorship, which isn't cash, but it absolutely means that the event organisers don't have to pay that amount back to the city for those components of the event. So we're working really hard to support this event and to make sure that we keep it here in the city.
Sorry, the final question was in relation to Buddha's birthday and festival in the city, held in the city since 1992, a two-day event. I didn't see the number of people that attend, but I'd say it's in the hundreds, or thousands rather. So they asked for 40,000, again got 25. This again, this is a multicultural society and an event that this kind is something that we should celebrate and throw our weight behind. So, again, wondering why we couldn't give them the full amount.
I'm sorry, Deputy Lord Mayor. I have a lot of papers here in front of me that are not marked clearly for getting to the application. Again, some of my response will be similar to previous in terms of the quantum available in the program and trying to make it spread as far as we can. But if you note on page... there's not a page number on here, but under the detail of the assessment for the event, in previous years we have provided funding of between 39 and 20,000. Last year, or this current year, they applied for 20,000 and we approved that, although it didn't proceed due to COVID. So the 25,000 that we're recommending is certainly more than we were going to fund this year, and is fairly consistent with the previous year as well.
So the final question was just, is there a possibility to allocate more funds towards these grant programs? I just by comparison, for example, the City of Perth in July 20 put on the Jungle Maze for 1 week at the cost of $99,000, and in spring this year put on a rainbow-themed activations, which were stickers in the Hay and Murray Street malls at the cost of $150,000. So that approximately $250,000 in city activations. Perhaps if that money was spent on supporting others, we could deliver higher quality events for our city that drew more people in and attracted a much diverse audience. So just wondering if the opportunity to reallocate perhaps.
Through the Chair, absolutely. It's Council's discretion when it sets its budget based on what's proposed by the administration through the business plan and long-term financial plan for you to allocate funds where you think is best suited for the activation of the city. This year, the amount of money allocated to this particular program was $740,000, and as I said, we have just under $9,000 left of that. But if Council chooses to prioritise other areas of our activity, activations and events, that's certainly at Council's discretion when we set budget, or during the year if you want to reallocate funds at the appropriate time.
Any further questions, DLM?
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, General Manager. Are there any further questions on this item 12.3? That being the case, we'll move to item 12.4, COVID-19 Economic Development Sponsorship 2020-21, Business News 40 Under 40 Awards. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Leeser.
Thank you, through the Chair. In the decision implications, point 19 on page 32, it says if the sponsorship is not approved at the recommended level or declined, the quality of the event is likely to have to be affected. It may also negatively impact the city's relationship with this applicant, having been a long-term 18-year supporter of the event. So my question is why? I just wrote why. I don't understand that rationale.
Thanks, Councillor Leeser. In the first instance, we'll refer to the CEO.
And if we can invite the General Manager Community Development to answer that question and any further under 12.4.
Great. Good.
Through the Chair, certainly because we have a long-standing relationship and we've been a main supporter of this event, to not support this, I just think that it challenges the relationship. Certainly it's Council's prerogative not to fund this, but it is considered a really significant business event. The City has always played a strong role in supporting young entrepreneurs, innovation. We've always had a role in awarding one of the awardees as part of it, and we've also received great sponsorship as a result, benefits as a result of our relationship with this particular event. So it's just a long-standing relationship of mutual benefit that we believe if we don't fund this year, it could undermine that ongoing relationship and the benefit that the City also receives.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you, Councillor Leeser. Any further questions on this item? Councillor Bevan.
Through the Chair, if I may.
My word.
Can I just ask, are there any complimentary tickets to their function?
Under our policy, tickets are no longer part of our sponsorship benefits.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Under our sponsorship policy, tickets are no longer part of the sponsorship benefits.
Well, I didn't want to say it, CEO, but you have to be under 40 to go, apparently, Councillor Bevan. I was thinking that the CEO said it, just for the record. Are there any further questions? Councillor Gordon?
I essentially had the same question as earlier. If you multiply the ticket price by the attendees, you exceed the total project cost, plus they have 20 odd, a dozen odd sponsors. So is the funding correct?
Sorry, if you could repeat your question, please, Councillor.
So if you multiply the ticket price, which is $295, by 600 persons, you arrive at $177. So our sponsorship would move them into a profit, and if they have 10 or more sponsors, they are making profit.
Thank you. Our sponsorship policy does permit funding to organisations and events that can operate under commercial terms and also generate a profit from their activities. This event application was actually assessed under this policy, of course, and is consistent with the aims and the objectives of the policy. Notwithstanding the profit that may be achieved by the organisers, the administration believes that the sponsorship benefits that we receive are good value for the City. And certainly as one of the state's really premier events, we really do think that it's worthy of our support, despite the fact that they may make a profit.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Any further questions? Deputy Lord Mayor Angie.
Just one question. Is there, through this sponsorship, the opportunity to profile the City through a video or some other means at the event?
Jim?
I'm just having a look at the sponsorship recognition benefits. Deputy Lord Mayor, have you referred to these on page 30? I'm just checking to see if there's a video opportunity in here. Certainly the benefits that we receive, we have the award naming rights for the Strategic Alliance Award, and we have a judge on the judging panel. We can include our logo, and we receive acknowledgement in all of their events and their promotional collateral. Certainly our logo is fairly prominent on their website, and we are acknowledged on their social media campaigns. And there's an editorial feature in their quarterly print advertisement, but it doesn't appear that there is a video opportunity. So we can certainly make an inquiry to see if that's possible. I'm sure they would probably be very receptive to that.
Especially if it's the DLM in the video, I would think, GM. thank you. DLM, you're okay, GM? Thank you very much. Any further questions on that item, 12.4? Let's go to 12.5, LGBTQIA plus advisory group terms of reference. And do we have any questions on this item, councillors? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Lord Mayor. I was just wondering, with regards to item 4 of the recommendation, whether it's actually necessary for the nominees to come back to council for endorsement, or we can just allow our officers to make the appropriate choice.
You question that through the CEO in the first instance.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Yes, we appreciate the opportunity to be most efficient at this process. We would need to make an adjustment to the terms of reference to reflect this change, but thank you. We would appreciate that that opportunity if Councillor agree.
You can't tonight. You can do it on next Tuesday.
Yeah, so next Tuesday. Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Any further questions on this item? Councillor Fleeton?
Thank you. Lord Mayor, through you, it's stating it's cost neutral, which is arguable because we have to put funds towards it. Why is it coming from the COVID reserve? What has it got to do with COVID?
CEO?
It was really that there is some available funding in the COVID budget, and so a small amount is actually proposed to be allocated from that fund.
And in future, if we do this, can we please list what's left in the fund that we're raiding for another purpose?
Yes, we'll provide you, I think, with ongoing updates as to how the fund is being utilised and what remains.
It's common practice in agendas where you're utilising money for another purpose to identify how much is left after you're taking money from it, so we can make an assessment as to whether or not it's a good use of funding. I know this is negligible, but I've seen it a few times that you've transferred from COVID reserves for nothing to do with COVID.
That's sound process, and we will ensure that happens.
Thanks, Councillor Fleeton. Are there any further questions on this item 12.5? No further questions. Thank you. We'll move to item 13, the Infrastructure and Operations Alliance Report. City of Perth Parking Business Plan, Major Trading Undertaking. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Fleeton.
Thank you. Lord Mayor, through you, bottom of page 40.9, it states, in addition to the City of Perth Parking Business Plan, the City continues to prepare a business plan for the CPP business. Which will further... What does that mean?
CEO, can I direct that to you in the first instance?
Yes, I think that actually is, could be possibly misstated, but I'll invite the General Manager of Infrastructure and Operations to provide a response.
Thank you, CEO. Through the Chair. The business plan, Major Trading Undertaking in brackets, is a business plan, and business plan... is a business plan which is separate. So if you read up a couple of paragraphs, the reason we called it Business Plan Major Trading Undertaking was to differentiate between a business plan that was created for compliance with the Act and the inquiry reasons only. So it dealt with six odd points in the Act that talk about if you have a major trading undertaking.
Yep, that's good.
The business plan is the one we've spoken about previously that we're now working on for the whole business. To make it a robust business.
Thank you.
Thanks, General Manager. Did you have another question?
Yeah, one more.
Yep.
So with all the previous errors in the way that this business unit's been handled, are we going to have to go back and check previous reporting periods for tax liabilities or any other liability that might come about because of incorrect reporting?
Happy to throw my construction spin on tax liabilities and employment liabilities, if you like. The CPP business is not an independent business within the City of Perth, so its reporting is just part of, as any other business unit, when the City of Perth's finances are completed and audited at the end of every year. So from a tax and employment liability point of view, it's all reported correctly. The errors, as you put them, are... purely about how costs and revenue was maybe not as clearly identified, certainly not as clearly identified as RCFO would have preferred, but there are no tax liabilities or employment liabilities that I'd be aware of. CFO may, he's nodding his head, so I presume he agrees with that statement.
Nothing around GST or anything claiming like that?
through the chair, if I may, because of the fact that the City of Perth parking business is not a separate GST entity, the relevant GST obligations are addressed through the city entity itself.
That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Project Director, and thank you, General Manager. Are there any further questions on item 13.1? Let's go to 13.2, lease of warehouse for storage of Christmas decorations. Any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Lord Mayor. I had just a question pertaining to the expenditure on the capital on the racking and whether that can be repurposed in the event we don't maintain the lease at this premises and use it elsewhere.
CEO.
And to the GM, infrastructure and operations, please.
And the very short answer through the chair is yes. They're purpose built for the decorations, so they are reusable no matter where the decorations are stored.
Anything else, Councillor Gordon? Councillor Lees first.
Watch it.
In point 8 on page 45, it talks about the Osborne Park Works depot is not considered an option. What is in that depot now is my question.
I'll keep going. Through the chair, the depot has all of the waste or rubbish trucks, all of the bins, the office, materials. We should go for a tour. It's a very full site and it's been rationalised recently. That was considered a potential place, but the Christmas decorations require indoor storage and we just don't have that sort of space at that depot.
Councillor Leeson?
Follow up. Further down on the page, it talks about a comparable warehouse was found listed for sale, not rent. So what's the rationale that we're renting rather than buying, is my question.
GM?
Probably as much as anything a finance question, but I believe at this point in time the cost-benefit analysis was line ball, and we wanted a shorter-term commitment at this point until we were able to do a full review of the city's assets and buildings and made sure that the highest and best use around the city where we currently store items warranted buying as another storage place.
A follow-up then. So when are we going to do this review of the highest and best use?
GM?
Different GM.
Other GM.
Thank you, through the chair. It was scheduled to take place sort of next calendar year, but I'm sure most elected members are aware there is a notice of motion potentially coming from Councillor Fleeton that's going to sort of fast-track that particular process. So I think the milestones at this stage, if it's endorsed by Council, looking at April for a policy and by end of financial year to have a strategy to the elected group.
Thank you, General Manager, Corporate Services. Councillor Lees is satisfied. Thank you. Councillor Fleeton, did you have some questions here?
I did. Thank you, Lord Mayor. How is this only coming to us now? What happened internally? You knew Christmas was coming. You knew that we had a problem on our hands. Did the commissioners just not deal with this? Or it's the 8th of December, by the time we have a meeting, we don't have a choice in any other option but doing this. So why are we only dealing with this now?
General Manager, Infrastructure and Operations, back your way.
Yep, thank you, through the chair. We do have an option. We currently store the decorations over multiple sites. It's not particularly efficient. It's not particularly safe. And the problem with the Christmas decorations, when they're procured, they're based on concepts and computer renders. So what ended up happening during this year, it also became reasonably obvious that other parts of the city had storage requirements as well. Arts, the plant department, materials, stationery, lighting, all number of items have been stored in various locations across the city. And when that became obvious that someone needed to find a better place, it made more sense for the Christmas decorations to get a bespoke location, generally because of the space they need to test, tag and prepare for Christmas every year. So it became obvious during the year, and unfortunately it's come quite late. But we could make use of existing city storage sites if necessary. It just didn't seem to be a particularly efficient way of doing it going forward.
Thank you, Councillor Pleat. Any further questions, Deputy Lord Mayor?
I've had a question. This isn't directly related to the decision, but at point 17, it says, according to the financial model, over a 10-year period, the city would spend estimated $17.6 million on the Christmas decorations. Based on the information that I was previously provided with, this year we spent $1.3 million to install and maintain, etc. So I guess that's times 10. There was, $2.6 million to buy decorations every 3 years, and now the cost of leasing. So just wondering if that $17 million is accurate. So I guess we won't be able to get that answer tonight, but if we could have that for the next week's meeting.
Indeed we will. Thanks, TLM. Any further questions, item 13.2? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I wondered what future commercial opportunities you had in mind for the Gasworks site.
Through the CEO.
And so if we could invite the General Manager, Corporate Services.
Good. Thank you, through the Chair. I think in the 12 months I've been here, almost every department or every team has come to me with a different idea about the Gasworks, from a nightclub to a storage space. I mean, it's an incredible location. I guess the beauty about the work that we're going to undertake is looking at everything on a highest and best use basis. So we really want to see what is financially possible, legally permissible, and what we can physically do within a reasonable time frame, and make some decisions around that highest and best use. So until we've done that assessment, I'm not sure what the answer is, but there's certainly a lot of interest in the site.
Thanks, Jim. Corporate Services, are there any further questions on this item? That's a no. So we move to item 14, Corporate Services Reports. 14.1 is the monthly financial report for October 2020. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Item 14.2, schedule of...
Lord Mayor, sorry.
Sorry, Councillor Fleeton, it's not a mistake I will make again.
Thank you. I was just waiting if anyone else had it. I think it's 14.1 because it's on liability just around leave. I know we've been talking about it offline. I just wanted to get a snapshot. How many employees have hit the years served where they've got long service leave owing to them? Are they being made to take it? How many employees... You can take this on notice. It doesn't need to be now. How many employees have more than 6 weeks accrued leave? Is there a policy in place to manage this? And I just note, from what I can see, there's a $500,000 increase in leave liability this year. I'm not too sure if I'm reading that correctly or if it's a mistake. So that's fine to be on notice.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. CEO?
The actual General Manager Corporate Services can answer the question.
Thank you, CEO. Through the Chair. We currently have 283 employees with long service leave in excess of 7 years, so they've been at the city or within local government for at least 7 years. There's another 143 that have reached the 10-year threshold who are due to take their long service leave. We have 161 employees with annual leave in excess of 6 weeks. It's worth noting that about 50% of those are between the 6 and the 7 weeks. In terms of what controls we have in place, the city's enterprise bargaining agreement allows the city to essentially encourage staff to take leave in excess of 6 weeks, and we've actively been doing that over the last 6 months. In terms of the financial and accounting provisions, I'll hand over to the CFO, because there was some statements within the most recent financials which talked about an increase in the provision, and I'll allow the CFO to explain the difference between that and what our actual liability is on the ground.
Thank you. Through the Chair. So we have the initial calculation of long service leave liability, which is just the specified numbers of hours or weeks. Then as part of the disclosure, we then need to establish a probability that someone will reach the 7-year entitlement to actually have to be funded for that long service leave. So if someone, for example, is 6 years into their tenure in local government, there's a very high probability they will reach it. If they're 1 or 2 years in, it's very low. So those numbers, therefore, get adjusted by that probability in the provision. And it's an excellent pickup from the councillor that provision has actually increased. The irony of this is the number of hours has actually decreased. However, the auditors requested that the city adjust its probability weightings, and as a consequence, that pushed the monetary value higher.
Thank you. A follow-up question, if I may. Mm. So the increase in the liability that I'm reading now, that is what we have to pay out because the portion of the employees are on that 7-year mark or over, or is that the entire workforce LSL liability? Sorry.
Yes, that actually relates to the entire workforce. Unfortunately, that probability calculation is one variable that gets thrown into it, and then subsequently there is a requirement for a net present value calculation to be done on that to bring it back to the equivalent monetary value in today's terms. It's one of the less pleasant accounting standards to work with.
Sure, and just one final question, please. So of the total long service leave liability, how much of that money is for people on 7 years or over?
That would be possible for us to advise if we can take it
sure.
on notice.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thanks, if I, thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Any further questions on this item? We move to 14.2, schedule of accounts paid for October 2020. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Fleeton.
Thank you. And thank you to the staff for responding to my request for credit card information. That was good. I'll start off with page 314. I'm seeing quite a few Visit Perth blog writing, different amounts, 3K, 2.5K. Can we just get some explanation as to why this is done by an external consultant and not staff?
Thanks, Councillor Fleeton. We'll go to the CEO first up.
And if we could share some of these responses between the General Manager of Corporate Services and also the Governance Manager as well. Oh, sorry, not the Governance Manager, the Executive Services. Harley.
Thank you. Through the Chair, I'll start off. In terms of the blog writing, it's generally undertaken by our, we've got four FTEs in our digital team, so website and social media, and also we have the marketing team also provide support. So we use additional external support when required due to workloads. As an example, in November we had 228 posts that were uploaded and managed across the City of Perth and Visit Perth Facebook site, City of Perth, and Visit Perth Instagram, Twitter and LinkedIn, as well as responding to website changes like development of Christmas pages, Australia Day pages, website development, and proofing and publishing of content on the website. So some of the figures quoted in the question also include filming and production of video, not just writing the blog.
Okay, thank you. And second question on that one. So how many staff do we have in the comms, media, PR team?
Certainly. Again, through the Chair, there are five FTE in communications, media and PR. So we have a principal corporate communications role, which is one FTE managing the communications digital creative team. So that deals with high-level communications, media management and overall strategic direction. A media advisor role, which is one FTE and manages all our media and PR. So that might be up to, for example, 30 media inquiries a week. Senior Communications Advisor, which is a 0.6 FTE, assisting with major communication projects like elections, stakeholder engagement outcomes, or development of corporate documents like annual reports. A Strategic Communications Officer, which is 1 FTE, which deals with strategic communications for major events, projects and media engagement, so things like the Christmas Lights Trail, the East End launch, for example. Content Officer of 0.6 FTE, which also assists in helping form content for social and web, video scripts and also speeches. And a 0.8 FTE of Internal Communications Officer, which is support for communications delivery internally and also provides support for the other communication officers as required.
Thank you. I've got a few more, if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
Different topic now. The IT and data payments to Telstra for 1 month came to $18,000. Three questions. How many devices is this amount for? How many employees have a city-supplied mobile phone or tablet? And what are our contract terms with Telstra?
We'll go to the GM of Corporate Services.
Thank you, through the Chair. In terms of the monthly expenditure relates to a number of services and not just mobile devices. So in addition to mobile devices, we have mobile voice and data services, government wideband, IP and VPN network services, PSTN services, but they will obviously be phased out due to the NBN rollout, and also services associated with the 1300 and 1800 numbers. In terms of the mobile devices, we have approximately 270 mobile devices individually assigned, and there's a further 70 devices that are assigned to teams through rotating casual and contractor workforces. The current contract with Telstra is due to expire on the 23rd of March 2021.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. I can see a $1,500 recognition of employee service to Mr. Kasim. What is that?
Jim?
Thank you, through the Chair. Essentially, the City of Perth has historically had a recognition of employees service presentations policy. It's CP 12.5, obviously recognises long-serving employees. The subject employee's been at the City of Perth for 30 years. Mm. This policy is scheduled to be reviewed by the Policy Committee in March 2021.
And Mr. Kasim is a current employee? It's like a milestone reward?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just ask, is that a cash payment? Is it?
I believe it is.
It is. No, not in a paper bag, but it is. What? It,
obviously. It's a cash payment on the list of payments.
Yeah, so it is a cash payment, yeah.
Thank you. We've got a couple more. Thank you for your patience. Do we really pay $155 per Foxtel licence across the city?
GM Corporate Services.
Yes, we do. That particular subscription is related to the programming at the Northbridge Piazza, so it's a commercial arrangement. My understanding is, and I could potentially go into some more detail offline or through further information, but in terms of that subscription, it's basically because of the public screening rates, and they're very different to an at-home subscription.
Yeah, so it's not like we're paying $155 everywhere we've got Foxtel. It's just in that location.
I don't believe so. The information I have at hand is that's associated with the programming at the Northbridge Piazza.
All right. Last question for this item. I can see $429 for a photographer at the special council meeting. So the reason for all of these questions is it sounds like, or it reads like, that we outsource absolutely everything when it comes to media, comms, PR. And surely we've got a staff with a camera that could have taken a photo of your magnificent ceremony when you became DLM. Mm. I'm just seeing so many different things. And the money's not the issue. It's just, what are our staff doing in this space?
Mm. It was a moment worth capturing. Yeah. However, Alliance Manager Executive Services, it is a fair question. Over to you.
Thank you, through the Chair. We don't currently have a staff member with specialised photography skills for official photos, and this was for the special council meeting, which was the first meeting of the new council and the appointment of the Deputy Lord Mayor. For informal photos, certainly for socials, internal communications staff do certainly undertake the photography. Thank you.
Thank you, Alliance Manager, and thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Councillor Leeser.
Thank you, through the Chair. There's an item here for Point Fraser overflow parking for close to $1,900. Why do we pay this, please?
CEO first.
Chris. Thank you. If that could go to the General Manager, Infrastructure and Operations.
Sorry, through the Chair. Well, it looks like a parking question. It is actually a fee to Element Advisory for the preparation of a DA to WAPC to change the use of the overflow car park to an overflow car park.
Can I just raise a quick point of order? I've got an interest in that item. When I was a consultant with them, which I'm no longer a consultant with them, I was on the other side of that process. So I'm not too sure if I need to state that, but I can actually explain it, or the GM of Corporate Services can.
Let's start with the GM of Corporate Services in the first instance.
Yeah, thank you, through the Chair. Firstly, I'd like to apologise to the General Manager of Infrastructure for deferring the question to him, which it's quite clearly mine. essentially, we've had historically a number of issues down at Point Fraser, typically around parking during the peak holiday period. Although we have been on occasion able to open the overflow parking, it typically was a long, convoluted process, and we often allowed the parking to open well and truly after the event had actually occurred. So the only way to overcome this particular issue was through a formal planning process. So about 8 months ago, the City of Perth embarked on a planning process whereby we looked to essentially allow approval for that to be an overflow parking area for a defined period of time during the peak period. So I think it runs from December through to the end of March or April, something like that. So essentially any time that there's an event down there, the overflow parking can open without a long and convoluted approval process. It was essentially the city's initiative, and therefore rather than run a process internally ourselves using our own staff from an independence perspective, the process was outsourced to a provider.
Thanks, GM. Councillor Lisa, back to your questions.
Thank you, through the chair. There's an item for NX 100 rent loading dock for $31,000. Can I please understand what that is?
Back to the GM Corporate Services.
Thank you, through the chair. So this is quite a complicated topic. So the City of Perth has a 100-year lease commencing in 2009 through to 2108 is when the lease expires. And it's essentially for a loading dock in the NX 100 building. Although the lease is under a peppercorn arrangement, the city is responsible for each share of variable outgoings, and that is essentially a monthly payment.
And what do we, sorry, through the chair, what do we get from that arrangement?
Essentially, having leased the facility, we get access to the loading dock, and potentially community members can have access to the loading dock.
Sorry, through the chair, access to the loading dock for waste removal, what do we need access to the loading dock for?
I might get the General Manager of Infrastructure and Operations to maybe answer this one, but essentially the loading dock is to load and unload goods of commercial nature into the CBD. I'm not quite sure of the history around this, given it kicked off in 2009, but my understanding was that we did need other loading and unloading facilities within the city, and there was an opportunity that was presented, and the city entered into that lease.
Jim of Infrastructure and Operations.
I think we probably would have to take it on notice to review further. GM of Corporate Services, right, 2009, we weren't aware there was presumably a deal done that made sense at that time. I believe the loading dock is available for, it's public loading dock, so effectively we pay and the public can use that loading dock. So Hay Street Mall tenants can use it. It's not limited to the NX 100 building. So it's pretty much a public loading dock. I think it's a half hour limit from memory, having driven in there once and wondered what it was about. But we can probably find a bit more information if you like and maybe flesh that out a bit more.
Can I just add, my understanding, GM, of Infrastructure and Operations is that there is a proposal, not happening at the moment, but there's a proposal on paper that tunnelling can happen underneath the Hay Street Mall to go from the Forest Place loading dock to that loading dock, and it's part of the Carillion redevelopment plan. And I'm told that in years to come, if that were to happen, you'd be able to drive in at Wellington Street and go underneath the city and come out at St George's Terrace. Does that sound right?
That is something that we have seen, absolutely. And not sure that it's 100% linked to the Carillion development, mm-hmm. but the Carillion development would create the link from our current loading dock, which comes off Wellington Street, through and under their site, which takes you all the way through to the Hay Street Mall.
Yeah.
And then the connection from there across the Hay Street Mall would be up for grabs if that was commercially viable for someone else, presumably.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Lisa.
Yes, I have one further question through the chair. Can I just please understand the arrangement with Town of Victoria Park that gives us an invoice for parking fee collection of about $16,000?
That's back your way, GM Infrastructure and Operations.
Through the chair. The contract that the city has with the Town of Victoria Park is that we collect and manage their parking tickets machines. So we collect their revenue, we manage the counting and all of the credit card fees, and we have an arrangement where we get paid by them. So what this number is the other fees. So this really will be returned back to the Town of Vic Park as their income minus our management fee, which is a contract we have for the Town of Vic Park. That did expire, but they didn't find a suitable replacement at tender, so they've extended our contract in six-month rollovers.
Thanks, Councillor Lisa. Thank you, GM. Are there any further questions on this item, item 14.2? Let's go to 14.3, 2020-21 Infrastructure Projects First Quarter Review and Reprioritisation. Do any councillors have a question on this item? None? 14.4, we move on to property disposal.
Sorry, Lord Mayor.
Sorry, Councillor Gobbett. I'm not
sure if you were going off the lights or not.
My apologies.
So 14.3, Part 5, referring to PCEC, the Perth Convention Exhibition Centre, why has it taken a period of 10 years for us to get to this point, and why are we dealing with this significant amount of money in a mid-year review and not as part of the annual budget?
We'll go to the CEO in the first instance.
Could I invite the General Manager, Infrastructure and Operations, to answer that question?
Thanks, CEO, and through the Chair. Why has it taken 10 years? Very good question. The multiplex, my understanding of the arrangement, multiplex under a very extended defects liability period dealt with the maintenance of the PCEC car park up until about a year and a half ago when they refused to maintain it any longer. So the city has had a couple of goes at trying to work out what the problem is with that car park. If anyone's been in it, they'll notice it's reasonably undulating. And then come up with a strategy and costs around fixing it permanently or maintaining it. And so it's taken us until about... would have been, if I have to guess, the budget time last year to create a budget to get us started on that process. That was a budget of, I think, about $600,000. And we've since closed out the evaluation and valued the works at the current amount, which is about $2 million, hence the $1.4 million reallocation requested. That would get the car park back to its original level and level, which would be great. From that point on, there's a yearly plan to maintain, which is a significantly lower number, with, I'm pretty sure it was three yearly larger sums over its life, and at no time did that maintenance option exceed the cost to repair in full, which would involve piling to bedrock, concrete slabs and the like, and that was seen as being probably unnecessary given the lifetime of the convention centre and possible upgrades that are already potentially planned. We've seen master planning discussions for that area. So we've decided on a maintenance option rather than a repair option, which was going to be in the tens of millions, as reported on the news about a year ago, I think.
Thanks, GM.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Yes, I suppose I didn't really get a clear answer. Why are we dealing with this now as part of the mid-year review and not as part of the annual budget? And what percentage of an increase in someone's rates does that represent?
Is that a question to the CFO?
I think the reason why we're doing it at the mid-year stage is because, as the GM Infrastructure and Operations indicated, the solution has been being worked on for a period of time. They now are at the point where they have the solution, and it is appropriate to proceed with the work rather than allow this ongoing situation to drift for another 6 or 7 months. So it's really about an opportune time to do it. In terms of what that represents on the rates, look, in round figures, it's about 1.5%. The funding around this particular project has been taken this opportunity through the mid-year budget review so that we're actually repurposing existing funds that have been released rather than having to have a larger rates increase to accommodate it next year.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Further question, if I might, on point seven.
Sure.
Was the review done in isolation for one suburb, or is it, if we had that raised as part of the East Perth community group, or whoever in the East Perth community raised it, why was that not a trigger to kick off a broader review of the city's lighting infrastructure? Why was it just looked at if this was just for one suburb?
And CEO, which way would you like to direct this one?
To infrastructure and operations, or failing that, then we'll go to the project director, strategic finance.
No, happy to take that one. I just don't quite understand the question. Sorry, what specific item are we talking about?
Under point 7, street lighting, net budget increase, $347,849, East Perth street lighting improvement. Discusses that it was brought about by safety community concerns, and I'm wondering why, if it was a community concern, and why, if we know that there are issues with our lighting infrastructure, why was it done just in the East Perth community, and why was it not done more broadly across our entire district?
Through the chair, the lighting framework is at least a 20-year program. This is just an opportunity that has come about to take advantage of projects that are already happening in that area, extending them to resolve an issue that's already in the public lighting framework for upcoming works. So it's just a suggestion, as much as any, to resolve an issue while we're already going to be on site.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And if I could follow that up with a question that's maybe a suggestion, can this be debated at length as part of our annual budget development?
CEO, you can answer that if you like.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Are there any further questions on item 14.3? Well, let's go to 14.4 then. It seemed logical. Property disposal, new lease suites 1, 2 and 3, City Station Concourse 378 Wellington Street in Perth. Any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Fleeton.
Really quickly, if I'm on the concourse at the train station and I'm walking from the city towards the museum, is this the row of shops opposite the newsagent? I just can't get my mind on where it is.
At GM Corporate Services via the CEO.
Thank you, through the chair. Also, being relatively new to Perth, I'm getting my bearings as well, but I'll try and explain it from my last visit. So essentially, if you walk into the train station past the bakery on the right,
yes,
and you turn right as if you're,
yes,
exiting back out of the train station, it's basically the entire row of shops on your right-hand,
yeah,
side,
gotcha,
once you get past our rest stop area there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Any further questions on 14.4? 14.5, request to transfer property, Public Transport Authority. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Fleeton, you had one?
Gordon.
Councillor Gordon.
No,
probably not. Councillor Gordon?
I just had a question about why we are reluctant to relinquish this land. If there's an opportunity to give it over to the state government and they can pay to look after it, that's great. But if we are concerned that they won't maintain the amenity, then I guess we should keep it.
By the CEO. Thanks, Councillor Gordon.
I think there's some reluctance, but I would agree that it doesn't serve any good purpose to half-hand something over, and I'm certain that the PTA might be happy for us to continue maintaining the landscape or the greenery in the area, but ultimately it does create a problem for us not having, it's, you know, half everyone's responsibility, and I think there's a great opportunity by having it returned to the PTA to really see the area enhanced, and particularly from a security perspective. So I think the city is fully supportive of moving this, handing that to the PTA.
So if I could just jump in there, Lord Mayor, it's inadvertent of me not to declare a disclosure of interest at the beginning of the meeting. Nature of Impartiality had inadvertently looked over that title. I'd like to submit that disclosure of interest at the earliest possible time being now, if I may.
Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Noted. It's just not, the nature of the interest is impartiality.
No, the extent of the interest.
So just need the extent of interest. Could you put it on the record, please, Councillor Goblin?
Yes. Thank you, Lord Mayor. I've just declared a impartiality interest.
Thank you. CEO, just to the previous point about security and that PTA land. So my understanding is that if the land is taken over by the PTA, then their security would be able to operate in that area, and there's a high level of competency and obviously a range of skills that they are able to perform. So it might be that the transfer of this land actually improves, if you like, antisocial behaviour in that area because they are able to enforce certain powers that our rangers, for example, could not or may not be able to.
Yes, Lord Mayor, I think that the opportunity to extend their jurisdiction would have benefit to the area. They are well resourced with security presence either via their surveillance centre or their transit officers, and their inclination to really improve and beautify the entire entrance to the train station I think will also be an additional advantage.
Thank you, CEO. Are there any further questions? 14.5, Councillor Gordon.
So just carrying on from the same line of questioning, am I understanding now that potentially the officers are recommending an alternative recommendation that we just relinquish the land to the PTA in whole?
CEO.
Yes, we will consider that, if we may, before the meeting.
Thanks, CEO. Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Any further questions on that item? Item 15 is the Chief Executive Officer Reports, the annual schedule of council meetings for 2021. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Gordon?
Thank you, Mr. Lord Mayor. I just had a question about the meetings that were scheduled to be held during the day and what the purpose of holding them during the day is, which stakeholders we think we're going to engage and what other local governments do in that space.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. CEO.
Thank you, Lord Mayor and Councillor. It's the City's view that COVID has really changed the concept of work and how people work and where they work from. So in an attempt to become more contemporary in our practices and to explore how we have the best reach to people who would be interested in our council meetings, we are, at the request of council, looking to live stream our meetings from January 2020-21, but equally to look to different times in the day. So I think ideally what we are trying to achieve is really an opportunity to reach the broadest possible number of people who might not otherwise have traditionally been able to come during the standard local government times.
Councillor Gordon, anything further? Councillor Coe.
Has there been any consideration of councillors, say they're sick, to dial into the council meeting via telehealth or something?
Thanks, Councillor Coe. CEO.
We would strongly suggest that if a councillor was unwell that they should look after themselves, and but that level of commitment would be truly appreciated. I'm certain that there would be capacity through live streaming to be able to remotely dial in. But I don't know. Oh, no, I have the governance manager who's suggesting something different.
Through you, Lord Mayor, unfortunately I don't have the legislation right in front of me, but there are certain criteria within the legislation that allows teleconferencing, and I believe the criteria is actually around distance and where you are, so there's nothing in there right now that allows people or councillors to call in if they're sick.
Another opportunity. Yes, Councillor Coe?
Can we change that?
The state government can definitely change that.
Thank you. Any further questions? I might just add, so the live streaming concept, we have been told that the equipment is not quite, is it up to speed as yet, or this is, we don't have it yet. Okay, shouldn't be surprised. We're buying the equipment, or What are we proposing exactly? Before I spit the question out, I will say that they might be available. Because one of the things we do want to do is make these meetings more accountable and more accessible, more to the point. Accountable goes without saying, but accessible, not everybody can get here. And I'll just add to that. So we did circulate a couple of amendments for ordinary council meetings next year, a range of trial dates, if you like. We had three of them that might not be at the standard 5 p.m. and three agenda briefing sessions that might not be at the standard 5 p.m. We sort of reverted back to a trial of two of each, May 25 midday and August 31 2 p.m. And for the agenda briefing sessions that line up with those, May 18 4 p.m, August 24 4 p.m. I guess in answer to a part of the question, Councillor Gordon, we won't know if we don't give it a go, and I think it's worth giving it a go. We've brought it back to just two, and I realise it's an inconvenience for those who are working full time, but the thought was if we gave plenty of notice, and if a day's leave is required for those who are working, that they're there in the book right now, and so there is a lot of notice there. But I think it's worth us giving it a go, just to see who might be able to attend as different to normal attendance. So that would be my comment there. Now, question about the video equipment or live streaming. CEO.
We did have the opportunity during COVID, so it was actually tested. I suspect we're trying to bring it to a standard that is professional and with appropriate audio. But one way or the other, we will have it available. And I've also it's been pointed out to me, we don't have a meeting in January, so it will be February.
Okay. Thanks, CEO. Councillor Leeser?
Through the chair, with the engagement sessions, I noticed that they're all pretty much on Mondays now, and we've got audit committee meetings on Mondays and policy meetings on Mondays. Has somebody made sure that the diary all matches up?
Yes, please, if you could.
At current, the report suggests that we should have the elected member engagement sessions on the Mondays preceding both the agenda briefing session and the ordinary council meeting. At this point in time, we're forecasting that those committee meetings should fall on the first Monday of each month. That way there's enough time to get those reports into agenda briefing session agenda for questions.
Thank you, but that was not the answer to my question. My question was we have audit committee meetings and policy committee meetings. Have somebody checked that these dates don't... Yes, okay.
Thank you, Alliance Manager. Are we happy, Councillor Leeser? Terrific, thank you. Any further questions here on item 15.1? 15.2, nomination of an elected member to the Perth Theatre Trust Board. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Yes, Councillor Coe.
I thought someone's already been nominated.
So I'm hearing that there may be a third position, but CEO, through you firstly.
To the manager governance, please.
Through the chair, we have appointed two members, I believe, to the Perth Theatre Trust Board. However, I believe we have three spots in there, and some time ago the City of Perth didn't make a third appointment. Because of that, the minister then appointed someone to that position, that other person not from the City of Perth. Their tenure is now ended, so we are seeking another nomination for that position.
Thanks, Councillor Coe. Any further questions? 15.2? 15.3. Inquiry into the City of Perth recommendation progress. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Fleeton.
I'm withdrawing my questions that I've asked. I found the information that I was looking for.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Any further questions on this item? Item 15.3, done. 16, committee report. 16.1 is the Council Policy Review Program and Policy Committee Meeting Schedule. Any councillors have a question on this item?
Has the city got the Deputy Lord Mayor's new schedule, and we're going to weave that into the what we're going to pass next week?
Councillor Fleeton, thank you for the question. CEO?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Item 16.2. Do any councillors have a question on this item, which is the local law reviews? Councillor Fleeton.
Speaking on behalf of people that I've spoken to in the last 2 weeks, parking seems to be a huge issue. If that can be prioritised in the schedule, and I know it's a different process to reviewing policy and it's going to take longer, but if we can please prioritise that.
CEO?
Yes, we will do that.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Any further questions there? 16.3, adoption of City of Perth Code of Conduct for Council Members, Committee Members and Candidates and Revocation of Redundant Associated Policies. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Fleeton.
How do you want to proceed with amendments?
CEO.
If I could ask the manager governance to respond.
Through the chair, amendments can be dealt with at the council meeting next week. If you need any support drafting amendments, we're more than happy to do that. However, that will be dealt with later.
I've just got a couple of suggested deletions. I'm not changing wording, but I don't want to do it now because we can't debate it. I'll give them to you in advance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Fleeton. Any further? 16.3. Move to item 16.4, proposed council policy, attendance at events. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Thank you, councillors. 16.5, proposed council policy, professional development. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Thanks again, councillors. Item 17.1, under 17, matters for which the meeting may be closed. So 17.1 is media booking, buying and planning. Do I need those numbers? Probably not. It is recommended attachments 17.1A, 17.B be confidential. Can the CEO please confirm the reasons for confidentiality?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Confidential attachment 17.1A contains the precise weighting of each submission against the selection criteria and detailed commentary against the selection criteria, and is therefore recommended that the meeting be closed for the discussion of this attachment. Confidential attachment 17.1B is a comparative schedule of rates of the proponents and is therefore recommended that the meeting be closed for the discussion of this attachment. This is in accordance with section 5.232EII of the Local Government Act 1995, which deals with information that has commercial value to a person, and section 5.232C, which deals with contracts which may be entered into by the local government.
Aye to you too, CEO. Thank you. Do any councillors have a question on this item?
My microphone has died.
Statement, not a question, Councillor Fleeton, but that's okay.
Ah, there's the end.
Righto, we'll just use big voices, everybody. Oh, no, yours is back on, Councillor Leeser. Okay.
I just wanted to note that this motion is directly related to a notice of motion I've lodged. So I just ask, can this be in the agenda for the council meeting come after the councillors' motions? I'd like it discussed after, because if we pass on it,
CEO? Yes, it can?
Yes.
Manager governance?
Imagine live streaming this.
Well, we'd make it entertaining. Don't worry, Councillor Fleeton. Go on.
Through the chair, the order of business on the agenda can be changed by resolution of council, so that can be dealt with at the meeting.
Okay, our sound system just hanging in there, it would seem. Okay, are there any further questions on this item? Councillor Gordon.
Can I just confirm, please, through you, Mr. Lord Mayor, that intention for the contract is schedule of rates only and there's no fixed spend within that agreement?
CEO?
If I could invite the general manager community development.
Thank you, CEO, and through the chair, you're correct. There are no commitments or minimum or required spends within the contract. This is a schedule of rates arrangement in the circumstance where we may need to purchase any media. So we'll only use it if we need.
Right, big boys.
If 17.1 or if 17 is passed, though, it hands the power to make purchasing arrangements under that schedule of rates, removes it from us and gives it to the city.
CEO.
Should we debate the motion next week as put forward by Councillor Fleeton, and councillors would also understand the implications if that was not to be supported?
No. So Councillor Gordon asked, there's no minimum spend.
Mm-hmm.
It's just setting up a schedule of rates.
Mm-hmm.
Back on. My question was, though, doesn't it mean by approving 17 that it hands over the procurement ability of the staff to not worry about council and just buy services according to that schedule of rates from minimum spend to up to 4.5?
Mm. Correct.
Thank you.
Thanks. Councillor Fleeton, do we have any further questions on this item? Well, that being the case, I believe that it's my job to thank you all for your questions in relation to the reports. We're going to move to the next items of business, item 18 and 19, which will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. Therefore, there being no further business, I now declare the agenda briefing session closed at 6:31 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Could we please all rise for the departure of the Right Honourable Lord Mayor Basil Zemplett?